And welcome back to Coast to Coast. We've got Ed Neal and Michael Butterfield with us. And thanks to our dear friend Tom Voigt for putting together this website and, of course, spending a couple hours with us on the program. We're going to take your phone calls. And, again, that special line reserved only for the Zodiac Killer in the off chance that person's still alive and is listening, 818-817-0021. I kind of hope, Michael and Ed, that that line doesn't ring.
Yeah, it's a double-edged sword, isn't it?
Yeah.
On the other hand, it'd be kind of exciting if it did.
Exciting? It would be nice if we could just trace the call and get it over with. But
well, yeah, exactly.
Well, now don't say that, then they won't call.
Well, I think in this day and age, if you're calling from a cell phone or anything, they'll probably find a way to track you down.
Yeah, that is absolutely true. Let's take some calls. We'll continue the discussion. Let's go to our wild card line. You're on the air with us. Welcome to Coast. Hi there. Hello.
Interesting first call.
Yeah, are you there? Go ahead, Steve. Hello. I've lost control of this. Go ahead.
Hello?
Yeah, go ahead, please.
Oh, hi.
My computer went crazy just when I was going to the phones, so I'm glad we got you. Go ahead.
No problem. I just wanted to bring something up really quick. Alex Jones has been trying to get people to talk about Rosie O'Donnell coming out about 9/11 being an inside job, and I think we all got to get out there and support her. I hope she comes out on The View and actually speaks about it because it's important. And
whoa, you got the wrong show. We're talking about the Zodiac Killer tonight.
Yeah, I thought maybe there was a thread there for a second, but
okay, let's go next. Let's go to our first-time caller line. You're on the air. I think I'm hooked up again. Hi there.
Hello.
Yeah, welcome to the show.
Thank you so much. I'm so glad to be able to tell somebody about this because I lived in Vallejo down during the time when the Zodiac was doing all the killings, and everybody in our area, everyone was just absolutely terrified to even go out of our houses at that time. But I was a teenager, and my brother was a teenager. He was about 18 or 19, I guess. But he and a friend went up to a lover's lane, which was crazy considering what was going on, and they were drinking and carrying on, and they saw a guy come towards them, and he was dressed in a kind of a costume. I didn't know that Zodiac had worn a costume until I heard you guys talking about it. But some guy was coming towards them in this kind of a pointy hat with a cape on. And they were just, drinking. They had a couple of girls with them, and they started swearing at the guy and saying, come on over and let us, beat you up. And the guy turned and started going off then. And then later they were joking about it. Yeah, we saw the Zodiac and that. But I really think it was him because it was in San Pablo, and it was right about the time, right after he had killed the cab driver.
Well, and Ed, do you think if it was the Zodiac, he would have walked away or he would have went up there and shot everybody or whatever?
How many people were in the group?
I think there were four. There were two good. The guys were very aggressive towards him, and
I think that's exactly why he. If it was him or anybody like him, they probably would. It's too many people.
I really think so. I think because they were aggressive towards him and threatened that they were going to beat him up. He strikes me as the kind who's a coward who would just prey on some innocent couple. And maybe even a voyeur, as far as that goes. Maybe that was what he was doing in these places in the first place,
Well, cowardly is a very good way to describe a lot of his behavior.
Exactly. I have a question for you. Has anybody ever compared all of the known serial killers' handwriting with his handwriting?
Oh, I don't think there's really any way to go about doing that without some sort of government grant or something. There's a lot of serial killers, unfortunately.
Because I'm wondering if he might have been somebody who was, who relocated somewhere else, like Gary Ridgway or someone like that,
Well, they're always looking. You'd hope that they always keep their eyes open. And, there's also VICAP, the violent information database, violent criminal information database, that you know, tries to find crimes that are similar in other states. So hopefully they could turn up something like that.
Let's go to our wild card line. You're on the air with us. Hi there. Hello. Hello. Man, we are having all kinds of problems with that line.
Let's go to our,
let's go to our next wild card line. You're on the air with us. Hi there.
Hi. Can you hear me, George?
Yes, I can. Thanks.
Okay, right. Yeah, in the Clint Eastwood movie, the killer's name was Serpico, and he did take a busload of kids, and Callahan finally had to kill him at the end. And I was wondering how the Zodiac would have responded to that one.
Well, his name was Scorpio. Yeah.
Right.
Serpico.
Serpico was the informant.
Right. Scorpio, right. So now I worked with a guy who claimed to be a roommate of Paul Klein. And I don't know if you guys know that he had a roommate. But
the cab driver, Paul Stein?
Yeah. And when Paul was killed in 1969. And I want to ask you about what happened after Paul was killed. You guys did not mention what was said by one of the officers who did survive or some other officer that they did talk to him. I didn't hear you guys mention that. And did he go into the Presidio, or do you think he was a resident of the neighborhood who was observing it? Because in his letters, he made fun of the police, that you had just missed me and I was watching the whole thing, something of that nature. Do you guys remember that scenario there?
Yeah, the Paul Stein was married at the time he was killed, so I don't know if he would have had a roommate, but no police officer has ever said that he stopped and talked to the Zodiac. The Zodiac claimed that some police officers had stopped him. And the two police officers in question, as Ed mentioned before, Donald Falk and Eric Zelms, you know, there's really no information, there's no credible information or evidence to suggest that that really happened. It sounds like it's just another way for the Zodiac to try to make the police look bad.
Was there any evidence that he tied up his victims or anything like that, like some serial killers do? Or did he just, you know, quickly kill them and moved on?
Now, the only time he tied anybody up was at Lake Berryessa, and even then he had them at gunpoint first. He had Cecilia Shepherd tie up Brian Hartnell.
Right.
Then he tied up Cecilia, and then he eventually stabbed them. The only purpose the gun served was to gain power over them. On the other hand, his other three known attacks, he attacked blitz style with a gun. He just basically, other than Paul Stein, of course, but even then he was still attacked by surprise. So he'd attack them and then take off.
West of the Rockies, you're on the air with us. Hi there.
Hi, this is Mike.
Hello, Mike. Thanks.
Yeah, I'd like to bring up some possible murders that could have been the Zodiac that have happened just recently. For example, Solano Beach, the couple from Placerville that were murdered on the beach, and supposedly somebody carved something out of a driftwood. And Half Moon Bay, the two women were tied with trash bags over their heads. When they took the bags off, they found two Halloween masks of some sort. And in this area of Reno, Nevada, the Montro murders up there off of Mount Rose Highway near a creek. Reno PD hasn't mentioned anything, to let the public know what the circumstances were. But the one that really catches my attention is Solano Beach, where the couple were murdered with a high-caliber weapon, and supposedly the individual sat there and carved a some sort of face out of driftwood.
Yeah, I think that was Cutchall and Allen.
I'm sorry?
Cutchall and Allen, that was in 2004, August. I think that's the one you're referring to.
Yeah. I'm just saying it's kind of got like Zodiac-type.
Wasn't there some sort of note left behind, Ed?
There were some interesting carvings, yes, on driftwood or writing or something, but that was a popular area for, you know, people to just go and hang out. They weren't necessarily related to the crime itself.
Yeah.
Were there ever any copycat killers afterwards?
Oh, yeah, there was the New York. At the time that 1990 December card was sent to the Chronicle, the one that might have been from the Zodiac, there was a guy in New York City. I was living in New York City at the time when someone claiming to be the Zodiac started shooting people there. And for the first few months, there was a lot of speculation that it was the original Zodiac until it was realized that it was not. And eventually, several years later, they did arrest someone else in that case. But it's one of it's probably the only genuine case of a real copycat killer in history. They happen in the movies all the time, but in real life, they don't.
Why do you two believe that the Zodiac Killer may still be alive? Just because of his possible age?
And also because I think Ed would agree with me that because, like you said, that he would leave something behind. I think I don't think he would want to leave this world without people knowing who he was.
And one would think. On the other hand, Jack the Ripper left without telling us who he was, so...
Yeah, well, let's hope, Ed, that he's not the as big a jerk as Jack the Ripper then.
Well, I don't think Jack the Ripper sent letters all over the place, though, did he?
Well, there's letters that were attributed to Jack the Ripper, but in that case, actually, the majority of people that have studied the Jack the Ripper case don't believe that those letters were written by the killer, but by a journalist who was trying to save a newspaper that was going bankrupt.
I interviewed years ago a guy from Scotland Yard and a reporter, and their theory was that Jack the Ripper was Francis Trumbly, a surgeon, a heart surgeon from Missouri, from St. Louis.
Mr. Tumblety, yeah.
Tumblety, yeah.
They have that book, I can't remember, The First American Serial Killer.
Let's
it's an
go
interesting
east.
Guy.
Yeah, he sure was. East of the Rockies, you're on. Hi there. Hello? Go ahead, west of the Rockies.
West of the Rockies, yeah. I was just wondering if there's any chance, have you looked into the CIA mind control stuff? That was back in that era, 69-70. Isn't that where the Unabomber came from?
Well, yes, the Unabomber was actually the subject of some experiments conducted by the Central Intelligence Agency. That may sound like a crackpot thing to say, but it's actually true. When he was at Harvard, he was involved in some mind control techniques and things like that. That only came out from a lawsuit, I believe. I can't, George, you could probably help me with this. I cannot remember the man's name, but back during the Roswell days, the man that went out the window at a hotel and his family had been trying to find out for 40 years what happened to him.
Oh, that was Forrestal. That was a Secretary of State Forrestal who went out. Jumped out the window, I think.
Wasn't I'm not sure. Yeah, whoever it was, though, it was a
James Forrestal.
Forth by the family that brought these documents out that revealed that Ted Kaczynski was actually one of the patients that was voluntarily involved in this program.
Really? Yeah, I'm pretty sure it was James Forrestal, then Secretary of State or Secretary of the Navy. I'll check into that, but that's who it was. Let's go to our first-time caller line. You're on Coast to Coast with us. It's your turn. Hi there.
Hi. I was curious if you could maybe tell us a little bit more about some of the profiling that's been done on the Zodiac Killer.
Profiling, all right.
Some of the FBI profiling, or how they described the suspect and what this person would most likely be, as far as age and occupation and temperament and intelligence, those things.
All right, Michael or Ed, was there profiling done?
The only knowledge that I have of anybody from the FBI Behavioral Sciences Unit doing anything like that was in the early 1990s when they had consulted with them during the investigation of Arthur Lee Allen. And the only information we have about that is basically what you would basically expect, that they told him that the Zodiac would keep his mementos and would have kept track of the case over the years, but there's really no profile that has been produced, that would tell you the kinds of information the caller's looking for.
Yeah, about the only profile that was done was way back in 1969 by the, I think it was SFPD, or one of
Murray
the...
Murray F. Myron.
In as much as they never found anyone, no one was ever charged, are you disappointed in the police work, or do you think they did a good job?
I think that they did virtually everything that could be done. That's one of the giant myths about the case, George, is that somehow they failed to cooperate with one another and this guy slipped through the cracks because of it. There's really nothing to support that. If you look at the files from the Vallejo Police Department and the San Francisco Police Department and the FBI and the Napa County Sheriff's Office, all involved in the investigation, it shows that they were all sharing information, all cooperating. I think really what happened is that you have to remember this was before the term serial killer was coined. So there wasn't a lot of experience dealing with the kind of person that would commit random crimes in various jurisdictions and write letters. And, you know, today they have a system that would fall into place with that. But that's my opinion based on the evidence that I have. I'm not sure what Ed would have to say about that.
Well, if the Zodiac was not like what they were looking for, I mean, they had their typical profile that he was...
The sexual deviant.
Yeah, that he had trouble having relationships with women, couldn't hold down a regular job, wasn't all that educated. If Zodiac was nothing like that, and we've seen more than one serial killer that is not, I mean, Ted Bundy, he was highly educated. Dennis Rader, he had a degree. Ted Kaczynski, he's, I think, the only serial killer that has a PhD, that I'm aware of off the top of my head. So it's entirely possible that Zodiac didn't fit what they were looking for. If he was ever questioned, which I really doubt, they would have said, what are you doing here? Get out of here. You know, it's like you're married, you have a regular job, you're educated.
Mm-hmm.
But that's just one of the ideas I've had over the years as to why he may not have actually been apprehended.
He doesn't fit whatever profile they had back then because they didn't have there wasn't any profile of a serial killer. You know, it wasn't until they started studying people like Bundy that they started to understand what a serial killer was and what even to this day, as you mentioned earlier, George, there's problems recognizing serial murder cases.
Absolutely, and it's also possible that this individual didn't even live in that region, even though he probably did. He could have been, a transient. He popped in and popped out.
Serial killers do a thing that is called trolling, where they will often drive for extended periods of time searching for a serial killer well outside the boundaries of what is normally considered their comfort zone.
What was very quickly the time period between the five murders that we know of? How many years?
Ed?
It was only 10 months, actually, from December 1968 to October 1969.
Wow. All right. Stay with us. We'll be back with final phone calls. I'm going to read you what could very well be one of the cracked cryptograms in if you would, Ed or Michael, just tell me if you think that's accurate. It goes, I like killing people because it is so much fun. It is more fun than killing wild game in the forest because man is the most dangerous animal of all to kill. Something gives me the most thrilling experience. It is even better than getting, well, it goes on and on. I don't want to even read that part. But does that sound like it was one of the cryptograms, Michael?
That was the very first one that he sent that was cracked by a school teacher and his wife.
Man. This sounds like someone who doesn't have much intelligence at all.
Well, it takes a lot of intelligence to make a code like that, though.
Well, you know, in the code it does, but I mean the verbiage doesn't. But maybe
oh, yeah.
The code,
maybe well, the code I think does. That even Ed would agree that a lot of the Zodiac letters seem to be disingenuous, sarcastic, and it seems that like some other people that have written to the police, he may have pretended to be dumber than he was, you know, to throw people off.
Do you think with today's... I'm sorry, Ed, go ahead.
I was just going to say, you know, and a lot of people have thought that over the years, that Zodiac was perhaps some sort of low-grade moron, not very well-educated because he made many spelling errors. Like, well, maybe he was just trying to appear that way. But you look at his crimes, at cryptograms... A lot of things were well planned. Obviously, he had to know about constructing a cipher, so he had some intelligence here. There's no doubt about it.
Let's go to our East of the Rockies line. You're on Coast to Coast with us. Hi there. Good morning.
Hi. Another great show, George.
Thank you.
I grew up in Vallejo, and in October 69, I took my first high school band bus trip. And it was 2 days after the warning from the Zodiac. That was a little frightening that we had an off-duty cop with a gun and a shortwave radio on the driving the bus. They told the public that this is how they'd protect those high school kids. When I was in high school also, we did take the threat seriously in town. And half a dozen of my friends occasionally, now this is high school, we'd get in the car and we'd go driving out Lake Herman Road looking for the Zodiac. We looked for him.
Oh, people still do that today.
Okay, my question, though, is how's the decoding coming along? And my other comment is, this is a show usually about paranormal. How could somebody be so inhuman to do things like this? And just one other thing, George, you're just on the St. Louis station just a bit ago, there's a random motiveless killing of a young couple in a car. Thanks for letting me ask some questions. Thanks.
Okay. All right, who wants to take any of that?
Well, as far as the coding or decoding goes, there's still three unsolved ciphers out of the four that Zodiac sent us. There was a very questionable decryption from the second one that has 340 characters that he mailed in November 69, which doesn't make a lot of sense, and a lot of experts have said, nah, it's not a real good translation decryption. On the other hand, the other two codes are way too short, and one has 32 characters, the other one has 13, and you know, even today, 38 years later, people are still trying their hand at trying to decode 340 cipher, and still no luck. It's hit and miss. It's just a matter of luck, I think.
Okay, West of the Rockies, you're up with us on Coast to Coast. Hi there.
Hi, this is Mark. I'm a truck driver going through Arizona.
Hello, Mark. Thanks for calling.
Yeah, my question is, were psychics ever involved in this case? And are some of the real renowned psychics now, why aren't they getting involved in it at all?
Well, the only knowledge that I have of any psychic being involved, Ed's a better trivia guy than I am, but was it Joseph DeLuise, Ed, the guy that came?
Yeah, that's correct. That was January of 1970. I believe he was from Chicago. And he came out here to the Bay Area to get some vibes on Zodiac. He was hoping to psychometrize, to actually, you know, hold some of the effects of the victims to see if he could pick up any vibes. But in San Francisco, they wouldn't let him do that. He went to the crime scenes. He got a lot of interesting words, phrases, images, but nothing ever came of it.
Okay, well, thank you. Let's go first-time caller line. You're on the air with us. Hi there.
Good evening, George, Ed, Mike. My name's Eric. I'm calling from Covina, and my question is actually involving not directly the Bates issue, but in that same era, there was an abduction near UC Riverside in or around the fall or early winter of 1966. I was wondering how much has been done to see whether or not that was connected to the case, whether any composites were ever drawn out of that.
Is that the kissing kidnapper?
You know, I think that they did title him the kissing kidnapper, yes.
Yeah, I don't know if there was a sketch produced. That case has always been linked to Bates, but I don't know. Ed, is there any other information about that?
I think I've read maybe one or two old articles. I don't remember too much about it. I think there were some links definitely to Bates, but nothing conclusive as far as I can remember.
This was the polite kidnapper, right?
He abducted some woman or actually got in her car or some such thing and had her drive him to San Diego. I mean, it's pretty vague right now, but it was something along those lines, and then let her go. It was something weird like that.
The kidnapping occurred, I believe, on Watkins or near Watkins Street or Blaine, Linden, one of those streets near UC Riverside. And the abductee bailed out somewhere on Pigeon Pass Road and then ran into the village of High Grove, which is near San Bernardino, which is actually quite a trek. I've lived in that area, and it's driving it in itself takes about 5 minutes to get from the area that I would think that she would have bailed out in to get to that part of town.
Well, maybe I'm thinking of a different case, but either way, though, I wish I could tell you more about it.
Yeah, me too.
Okay, let's go to our wild card line. Your turn. You're on with us.
Hi, this is Carrie. And I grew up in Palo Alto. And I was going to a little college called Menlo College in 74.
Mm-hmm.
And at that time, at the Stanford Chapel, during the fall, I believe it was, and I've got another murder thing. I got two murders. It was at the Stanford Chapel, I believe in the fall of 74. This woman was murdered in the chapel, and the head of my music department at my college had said, didn't the Zodiac killer say his next murder was going to be in a church?
No,
did you guys ever hear about that?
No, there's nothing in the Zodiac letters or anything like that.
Might be Arliss Perry that you're talking about.
It is Arliss Perry.
Yeah, but Zodiac never said anything about killing anybody in a church.
Okay, maybe that's what my music teacher had thought he had heard, but they had put it on the news. But, yeah, okay, then the other murder thing was, so I had always wondered about that. Gosh, was that the Zodiac killer? And then our friend's daughter was in the 70s. She was up, I think, on Alpine Road, which you're probably familiar with, and her car broke down, and she was murdered.
Who is this?
A friend of ours, his daughter, and she was. They just lived a couple streets away from us, and he's, and I don't want to say who he is on air, but he's kind of famous, and it was really sad, you know, and she was, her car broke down, I guess it was on Alpine Road, and she was murdered. She had a little Pinto, you know, back then, but I'll tell you who it is off air, but I just don't want to say it because I don't want him to start getting calls.
We understand. You can't implicate somebody who hasn't been charged. All right, thanks. Appreciate you calling in on the program. Do you guys think this is ever going to get solved?
I hope so. I think that it might be solved once a lot of people stop pretending to have solved it. You know, you. And also, you can't solve a case with bad information. You know, once you start eliminating a lot of the myths from the case and start focusing on what can produce a lead, like DNA and things like that, if you actively pursue it, I think you have a much better chance of it. But whether it'll be solved or not, you know, I'm kind of hoping that the Zodiac will come through on that end and help us out a little bit.
Well, we certainly do seem to have enough physical evidence. We just need somebody to match it to.
That's exactly right.
Let's go to our first-time caller line. Hello there. Good morning.
Hello.
Hi.
My name is Sue, and I'm from the San Joaquin Valley.
Sure, Sue. Go ahead.
In 1992, this man came into a business where I was working. I was working as a bartender, and I'm sure it was him. A couple months before he came in, I had a dream about him, and he lives in the foothills, and he lives in a older white house. It was left to him by his mother, and he has a lot of square window panes, small square window panes, and there's three large trees by the house, and he likes to go out and stand at this, like a pasture or something, and look over in this fence. Anyway, when he came in, I was at the business. I was by myself. It was about 11 o'clock, and he ordered a beer, so I got it for him. It's just kind of like a small, older type bar. You know, I usually get a lot of older customers, used to. And so I was standing over there, and he says, he said, like, do you know the Zodiac? Just out of nowhere, you know. And the way he said it was like he, it kind of burst out of him, like he couldn't hold it back, you know. And I kind of looked at him, I go, oh, you mean astrology, Zodiac? And he says, no, the Zodiac. And it kind of upset, you know. And I says, oh, I know who you mean. I used to live in the Bay Area at the time when all that was going on. And then he expressed, like, anger towards the police. Like, and he was, like, kind of angry and upset. And about that time, someone else came in, some other customers. I used to get, like, a late crowd came in just before closing.
Right.
So they came in, and I went down, and I fixed him a couple of drinks. Then when I came back, he had left. And he left his beer there, only took a couple of drinks out of it. And I'm sure this man was him because of the dream I had about him. And he was about 5'8". He wore a tennis shoes, Levi's, a blue plaid flannel shirt. He wasn't a big person. And he was nice looking, you know, nice looking kind of average guy type. He had a shoulder length, dark blonde hair with lighter streaks in it, blue eyes. He had thin lips. It was a white guy. And he had kind of aquiline nose.
Was he wearing glasses?
No glasses.
No glasses.
And he was an attractive type guy, you know. But right. He wasn't a big deal.
Let's
he
get there, take it. By the way,
was strong.
Tom is telling us that we have someone on the Zodiac line, and I want you two to handle this. Here we go. You're on Coast to Coast. Hello there. I am a Gemini. That is true.
Yes. Yeah, and the man running the phone, he's an Aries.
And you?
I'm a Taurus. You see, Taurus rules.
All right, Michael and Ed, take it away.
Well, I guess then you would know what we are then, too, right?
And who are you? I can hear an Aries somewhere there.
An Aries? Where?
An Aries. What would you like to know? I do not live in the United States anymore.
Where do you live?
But I certainly did pop in through the Bay Area quite a bit years ago. But I don't live there no more.
Oh, where do you live now?
On the planet.
How old are you?
So what I would say, how old am I? I am 48 years old.
48.
And you're the Zodiac Killer?
Am I the Zodiac Killer? I don't know, am I? This is what you have to tell me.
Well, let's see. I think you would have been about, 10 years old at the time, so, yeah.
You think I am?
Ed did the math.
Well, it was, 38 years ago since the Zodiac's last murder. If you're 48, that means you would have been 10.
Well, Petaluma, Nevada.
Should we give him the gong, gentlemen?
If he was 10 years old at the time of the Zodiac murders, I think we can exclude him as a suspect.
Mm-hmm. All right, we'll exclude him as a suspect. Well, yeah. We got what we wanted, didn't we? We got a call, and...
there's always one.
And you did your police work. Let's go to our wild card line. You're on the air with us. Hi there.
Hello?
Yes, please go ahead.
My name is James. I'm from San Luis Obispo County.
Yes, James.
My father was a police officer who was at the scene of the Paul Stein murder. Back in 69, I believe,
yes,
whatever it was.
Yes, cab driver. Mm-hmm.
And he has always maintained, him and his partner came upon two other cops who had a suspect out on the sidewalk. And my dad's partner stayed in the car. He went to the two cops, what do you got? And, they got unidentified white male. They were, I guess he gave them information. They, were on the radio and waiting for, a callback or whatever, but they had the suspect there. My father said that, the murder had just happened. He said if it had been him and his partner, they would have had that guy down and frisked him and everything. He was carrying a bag, and he kind of looked, I guess, not like business type out grocery shopping. And they waited, and he waited right there with them, and he said he got a pretty good look at him, but he only remembers profile. Then the call came over that it was a black suspect, and they let the guy go. Now, presumably this is Zolks and the other guy, okay? They're the only two. They're the two officers who were the primary. They stopped the suspect. So then couple days go by, or I don't know how long before the next letter came in, but the Zodiac always maintained that he talked to some officers, or I think you mentioned it on your show. I had read the same thing, but I can't remember what letter it was.
Well, I think there's an issue there, first of all, about the timing, which Ed can tell you about, but real quickly, I'll just tell you, the witnesses who saw the Zodiac inside the cab with Paul Stein saw him with Paul Stein's body cradled over his lap. His head was right in his lap. The gunshot wound was bleeding profusely, and there was blood dripping everywhere inside that cab. The man was sitting in it and had the victim in his lap. He would have been covered in blood on his hands, his pants, his shirt, most likely his shoes. And he walked away from the crime scene north on Cherry and went around the corner.
He didn't even run, did he? He just kind of walked away.
No, he walked casually, and as Ed can tell you, there's really no timing there, unless you want to believe that all the police officers that night conspired to conceal this event. The timing doesn't work.